Welcome to the Balanced Perspective Podcast, where we're going to be challenging perspectives on what it actually takes to become successful in business and in life every single week. I'm Terri Ann Richards, your friendly neighborhood serial entrepreneur and your guide to growing an impact-driven business, fueling both your community and your life at home. Enjoy this episode. Hey, y'all, this is Terri Ann Richards, and you are listening to The Balanced Perspective. I'm here with my guest, Katie Thompson, the founder of Modern Darling Media and the host of Hustlenomics, the podcast. Modern Darling Media is a full-service branding, marketing, and design agency for creative entrepreneurs who want to make a bold and meaningful impact. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm super excited to have you on and excited to unpack a little bit about your business. And I'm certainly interested in learning about your podcast. I've listened to a few episodes. But before we jump into all of that, because I know we're going to jump into it, I'd like you to take me on a little bit of a journey to understanding what brought you to becoming a full-time entrepreneur. Because from what I've read, you were in the corporate world before and then made a very life-altering, life-changing decision that obviously was for the better to become an entrepreneur. So welcome to that club. But but take me on a journey of how you got to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I did start out in the corporate world. I went and got my bachelor's degree right outside of Chicago at a fantastic place called Lake Forest College. Did, you know, graphic design, media, film, and all that. And then I went straight to grad school. If I could stay in school for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. I am such an intellectual. I love just being in school and learning. But eventually had to, go out in the real world. So I got my master's degree in journalism and media studies. Loved that program and went right into marketing. Part of my program, I really worked a lot with graphic design, websites, radio, things like that. So I had kind of a very diverse background when it came to media, and marketing felt just like a really smart step into the corporate world. And, you know, it was so funny. I expected to be getting job offers out the wazoo. You know, I thought, oh, I have a master's degree, I have all this great internships, all this great experience. And I swear it was like crickets. I think I put out like 200, 300 resumes, and it was really kind of confusing and disheartening. But eventually I did get an offer from a company and started working for them. And first of all, I was just so thrilled to have a job. I didn't exactly ask the right questions in the interview. I didn't exactly get kind of all the things I was hoping. I mean, it just was a little bit of an off environment when it came to just change, moving forward with new technology, that kind of thing. It just wasn't exactly the best environment for me. And so I went to another company and had a similar experience. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate with having maybe bad bosses or toxic environments or anything like that. But I also just realized that I'm extremely independent. I'm creative. I wanted some more autonomy and freedom. And so I started listening to podcasts while I was at work because it was the only thing I could do and not get in trouble because I was still working. But it was a way for me to really connect with the idea of being an entrepreneur. I'd never really thought about it before. And so I just started listening to podcasts and started taking some of those lessons and tactics that they shared on those shows and started doing it for myself. So I built up a little photography side hustle on the weekends and in the evenings, started my own podcast. And eventually I've grown it from that small little photography side hustle, expanded it into what it is today, which is, marketing, branding, and design. So that's kind of a condensed version of what happened, but that's been about almost 4 years now since I started.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack there. So, the very first thing I want to sort of dive into is almost to pivot the way that we're looking at this, because I'm listening to you talk about the fact that you were working for these bosses, working for these leaders, and there were these toxic environments. And I think there are so many other people out there right now that are working for bosses and leaders, and they're just not great leaders. You know, they're potentially looking at the world from their own perspective, which is, great, but they're not seeing it from, their employees' perspective. I'd love to find out from you, what advice or, you know, what tactics do you think they should be taking to keep people like you? Because I think there needs to be a very good amount of what I would say are intrapreneurs, like the entrepreneurial spirited individuals that are out there in the world that at some point, yeah, they'll probably go out and create their own business, but man, the power that they can bring a company when they work for you, if you let them have that autonomy and let them have that independence without stifling it and micromanaging it. So what advice would you give to a leader, a boss, you know, a manager who has a you working for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is trust. That was across the board. It came in different forms of not trusting. But I think that was what the through line was for me and why I had to take a step back. You know, whether if you're hiring somebody as a manager, as a leader, obviously you're hiring them because you believe in them. You think they'll do good work. And when you do that, and then you micromanage them so much, and you don't give them the space or the freedom to be creative and to try new things and be innovative, you're just going to break that relationship. It's not going to go anywhere. And it really breeds resentment in the end. And so my advice is don't hire somebody that you don't trust. If you think that they're good at what they do, but you don't trust them, it's not going to be the right fit because you're going to have to constantly be on their back. So, you know, hire good people, but hire people that you know you can take a step back and they're still going to be kick-ass at their job. So, you know, that's really my big advice for people. And I hope that this situation that we're in with having people work from home for the first time, having to be away from the office, away from a manager's eye, I hope that will actually encourage people to trust more. I think it is already, and I hope it does even more in the future.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's, you know, trusting the decision you made, right? Like I've certainly hired my fair share of employees over the years. And so you go through that vetting process of, you know, sitting down and having multiple interviews with them and calling their references and ensuring that they have the skills and the character required to fit your culture and the need of the role. But to your point, you know, you need to trust that they can do what you've hired them to do. Right? Trust the decision that you made to hire them and allow them to be leaders in their own specific role. You know, I looking back in my career and in hiring, you know, those up and coming entrepreneurs, and I've had a couple entrepreneurs work for me. They require a lot of autonomy and they don't want to be micromanaged. I'm sure as an employee myself, that would be what I am like, right? I haven't had many jobs in my life. I've only ever really worked for myself. But the few jobs that I have had, I didn't enjoy having that creativity stifled by somebody else overlooking, you know, looking over my shoulder. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. So, okay. So you're in the corporate world and you switch over into this lovely land of entrepreneurship. And I love the story of, you know, how you just kind of started with a hustle, like the side hustle and doing photography. And now you've grown it into this company that you have today. So can you tell me a little bit about what it is that you do today and how you help entrepreneurs?
Yeah, absolutely. So the mission behind Modern Darling Media is to really be that creative support team for other solopreneurs who maybe haven't built their team up yet or don't want to have to go to 1,000 different people to get their business started. So that was kind of the idea behind it, because when I first started that side hustle, luckily I had a lot of the skills that I needed from my educational background to kind of do the branding, the website, the social media. That was stuff that I already knew how to do. Of course, I have improved a lot over the years. But I was thinking to myself, I can't imagine, one, how expensive and exhausting it would be to have to go to different people for every single thing. But a lot of the time when people do that, the messaging and the branding gets watered down. I always say it's like playing a game of telephone. It's never going to be cohesive when you're trying to explain it to all these different creative minds. So my idea was to be that support system for somebody who wants to get it all done in one place and not have to water it down between a bunch of different people. So,
awesome.
And we offer marketing and branding and design services, and podcasting is within that marketing kind of branch that we offer as well.
Okay. So what do you think is the number one reason why, you know, solo entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in general struggle with making the decision to outsourcing, right? Because hiring someone like yourself is outsourcing that specific yeah. branding, marketing, and graphic role. You know, and I see it, you see it, it's all over social media. The proof is in the pudding that so many people are doing their own branding and their own graphic, and some have the talent and some don't. Why do you think so many right. people struggle with making that decision?
I think money is a big part. Obviously, that's the first thing that comes to my head. And the first thing that I always tell people is your business is just is like your education or whatever else that you're doing in your life. You have to invest in it. And that's not just time. It's not just effort, but you have to put money in to get money back. So doing that early on is going to save you a lot of time. For example, if you try to do all your own branding and website early on and it's not that great, you could be losing clients because of that. That's money right there. You could have to rebrand and do a new website down the road. That's money there. So if it's doing, it's investing early on is going to save you a lot down the road. I know that's a hard thing to know when you can't see the future, but as from experience, it does. And also, I just think people kind of have a hard time admitting that they're not good at everything. As an entrepreneur, we have to do a lot. Obviously, we have to wear a lot of hats. So we have to have that confidence in ourselves that we can do a lot. That doesn't mean we have to be good at everything. So, you know, there's knowing what you're good at, and there's also staying in your lane. So I think those are the two biggest things.
Absolutely. I call that playing in your genius zone, right? Like, absolutely. I definitely have the skill to do just about any aspect of my business. The question always comes down to, should I, right? Like, should I be doing this thing right now? Is that a revenue generating activity? You know, am I really supposed to be, you know, editing a podcast or, you know, creating a graphic? The answer is most of the time, no, because it's not what I'm trained for. It's not the skill I have. Yes, YouTube has been great for me over the years and I've learned a lot of cool skills. But yeah, outsourcing is definitely something that I am an advocate of. And in reading your blog and through your website, I can see that you're definitely an advocate of. So as somebody who enjoys outsourcing, do you outsource any areas of your business? And if you do, what are those key areas that you outsource to?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that. I was actually in the middle of hiring some team members to outsource right when COVID-19 hit. It was like the week of when all this stuff started kind of happening, then it got really kind of crazy. And so I took a step back from that, but I am ready to hire two or three people to come on my team. I'm really excited that I've gotten to this place. I am also excited that I started doing virtual assistant work and doing that, being the outsource person for other people. So I understand both sides of it, which I'm so glad, because if I didn't, I think my hiring process would have been completely different. But yes, I'm like on the cusp of doing that when things get a little bit more back to normal or whatever we want to call it. But yeah,
whatever, so that's the plan. Whatever the new normal is I think what you mean.
Exactly. A better normal, hopefully.
So what advice would you give to entrepreneurs who are at that point in their business that, you know, they have grown to maybe the level that you are right now, and, you know, maybe they did their own branding in the beginning, or maybe somebody else did it, but they're at that point where they need to make a pivot and potentially rebrand. Is there any advice? Is there any tactics? Is there a path that they should go down first before making that decision?
Yeah, I think that it always comes back to your core foundational ideas, your mission statement, your target audience, your goals, your vision, all that kind of stuff. I know it's changed for me multiple times over the years. When I first started this side hustle slash business, whatever it was at the beginning, my goals and my vision and my mission was so different from what it is now. And I had to take a look at what I wanted to do in the future and understand that I will want to pivot. I will want to grow. I will want to expand. So I wanted to create a brand around that that could grow with me, that could go in different directions and still make sense and still be cohesive. So understanding that you have to work your future goals into your branding and allow yourself that space. And also, just like I said, your mission statement and your target audience. My brand is very geared towards female entrepreneurs, mostly young female entrepreneurs. So the branding that I had for my photography business was completely different. I was gearing that towards brides, you know, so it's still female based, but I had to understand, who am I talking to? Who am I trying to attract? What's going to look good to them? What's going to feel good to them? And so that's how I kind of crafted my brand strategy in the very beginning, before I even picked out colors, fonts, graphics. Before any of that, I was focusing on those really core foundational things, and that kind of led me to all the rest.
Do you think it's important that people go back and review that on a regular basis? You know, speaking to the fact that, you know, you start off in a business and you start off with a vision and potentially a mission of here's who I am and here's what I'm going, you know, who I'm going to serve. And then the reality is, you know, over the course of a year or so, that pivots and changes just because that's how business is. You go, you start with an idea and then the market tells you what they actually want.
Absolutely.
How often should people be reviewing that?
Oh, I think every single year. And why I say that is because, for example, I was working with a client that was a social media manager, and she mostly worked with physicians and people, professional people. So professional, kind of, that was her group that she was marketing towards. But then she, after about 6 months, I went back and kind of reviewed with her. I said, talk to me about your clients right now. Like, who are they? What do they do? All this stuff. And she realized that 90% of her clients were chiropractors, you know? And so it's now saying, okay, we know what we need to do now. We need to niche down. We're not just saying we're going to professional people. We're going straight to the chiropractors because they want you, they like you, you're good at it. So niching down. So, I mean, that happened in 6 months. And if she hadn't looked at that, she would have been missing out on that really profitable niche who is now her very loyal client base. So always going back and reviewing, you'll be surprised at the trends that you find.
Totally agree with that. Totally agree. So I saw on your website that you have a quiz on helping people sort of decipher what social media platforms they should be on. And I thought that was a really cool idea for no other reason that most people, including myself, are like, where in goodness name am I actually supposed to be? And then you meet people and they're like, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Pinterest, I'm on TikTok. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine trying to be on every platform, you know, that's out there. And even some of the ones that I don't even know exist yet, my children are usually teaching me these things. So how do you help people? I mean, obviously the quiz helps you sort of help people decipher, but how do you help people decipher where they should be putting their effort in terms of social media?
Absolutely. Well, my first question to somebody when they want to get on social media is why? Everything I do has a strategy behind it. So you're not just on social media to be on social media. There has to be a reason, whether that's you're wanting to get clients, you're wanting to build your brand notoriety or get your brand out there. You're wanting to network. There's so many different reasons, but you've got to understand why. Otherwise, there's going to be no strategy behind what you're doing on there. So understanding that, first of all, and then understanding where your target audience is hanging out. You know, it's a really kind of very basic foundational marketing tactic is putting your advertising and your marketing where the people are that you want to see it. So if, you know, back in the day, if you were putting out flyers, you're not going to go put out flyers in a coffee shop for, you know, doctors or something, because they're not usually hanging out in a coffee shop. They're in, they get their coffee and they're out back to the office. So understanding where your audience is super important. So for example, my audience is mostly on Instagram, a lot of time on Facebook as well, and Pinterest. That's where my people hang out. Not so much on LinkedIn. But then for another example, I have a client that works with mostly perimenopausal and menopausal women. He's a physician. They're on Facebook for sure. They rule Facebook, that age group. It's kind of crazy. But they're also on LinkedIn as well and YouTube. So understanding that not everyone's going to be everywhere. And if you're trying to put so much effort into everything, you're going to get burnt out and you're not going to do it well. So those are my two biggest tips of finding which platforms you should be on and where you should put your efforts.
That's really good advice. And I can remember once upon a time trying to do it all. And to your point, you either burn out or you just don't have consistency, right? Because it's too much. And the verbiage and the way you're supposed to show up on LinkedIn is so different than Pinterest and very dramatically different than Facebook, right? And so it really is important, to your point, to decipher, you know, which platforms is your ideal customer hanging out, and then that's where you should go and play.
Absolutely. And you know, also taking a look at what you're selling. If you're selling a product, you know, and you're on Instagram, you can't click through to a product on Instagram. Well, you will be able to soon. But for the past 5 years, you haven't been able to. So that maybe is going to tell you, all right, if I'm trying to get people to click through to a product, Pinterest or Facebook. So understanding just those tactical stuff as well.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just learned something new, folks. So, okay. So let's talk about a little bit about being in business. So you've been in business for 4 years and you have a corporate background. Do you feel like any of the skills or experiences maybe that you had in your corporate world have helped you in your entrepreneurial world?
Absolutely. I'm a huge advocate of taking every experience, good or bad, and finding something you can learn from it. Otherwise, you're going to be pretty miserable a lot of the time. So I definitely think that a combination of being confident in what I'm selling is something that I took from the corporate world. I was not selling things that I necessarily would have used or liked to use, but I got the skill of understanding how to sell it confidently as if I would want it myself, you know? So being able to talk to people about what I'm selling and not undervaluing what I'm trying to sell, that took me a while to learn, but I think eventually I realized that I had that skill. So I think that's a big one. And also just working with different personality types. As I mentioned, my corporate environment was not always a healthy one, but it was very diverse. A lot of the time the people I was working with were much older than me. So understanding how to explain technical things or explain digital things to somebody who might not be like, I know exactly what you're talking about, you know? So just being able to communicate in different ways with different types of people, I think.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It doesn't matter what you do and where you go in the world. Communication is really, at the end of it, key to, you know, having your success in life, right? Because it's the way you show up. It's the way that you sell to your ideal customer. It's the way that you partner with people. It's the way you have a conversation on a podcast, right? It's, yeah, definitely, I can see how that would have been very beneficial for yourself. So tell me a little bit about your podcast. So I love the fact that you kind of went from being a photographer and then did you say you started your podcast like 4 years ago?
Yes. And this is a crazy thing that I kind of didn't think was that interesting until I started talking about it. I started my podcast right at the same time that I started my side hustle. So even before I went full-time in my business since 2018, a little bit before that. But I went full-time in 2018. So I started it a little bit before that, but yeah, it's grown up with me.
Wow. Okay. So you started podcasting 4 years ago. How has that experience been? Because, you know, if I'm being honest, and if you listen to my first episode, I sat on the idea of this podcast for like a year and a half. And it was like all the techie stuff and all the not knowing slowed me down and stopped me. And here I meet you and you just launched directly into podcasting 4 years ago. So share a little bit about like, how did you even make that decision? And yeah, how has the journey been? Because there's a lot of techie stuff with this podcasting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the Hustlenomics podcast was born in 2018, but I had been podcasting and doing radio before that. So it's been like, you know, a little bit of a learning experience, but within my journalism program, I did a lot with radio. And so, and also I've been in theater and acting my entire life as well. So I've been very comfortable with performing and talking and all that kind of stuff. But I had to learn a lot of the technical stuff, the editing, the software, the programs, things like that in my program, my journalism program. So thank goodness I had some of the best radio journalists teaching me how to do all this stuff in the beginning. I had to be graded on it, which was not always good. But yeah, so that was a huge benefit. And so when I went into doing the side hustle, I had no kind of business experience. I had this creative experience and the technical experience, but I knew nothing about business. So I said, well, why don't I take something I know how to do and learn from other people on something I don't know how to do? So I started my podcast basically to talk to other people and get the kind of no BS knowledge that I wouldn't necessarily get going back to business school.
Very, very sly. That's actually amazing. It's interesting because there's another podcast that I listen to. I think it's called The Eventual Millionaire.
Yeah.
And when you read about her why, like why she started her podcast, is because she wanted to learn from millionaires and billionaires, mm-hmm. because she's not a millionaire yet, she says, right? And so she's just interviewing these people who have been able to, you know, garner this amount of wealth and keep it. And she's like, you know, hey, like I get to interview people and learn how to become an eventual millionaire. So what Absolutely. a Absolutely. Well, and you know what, in doing these interviews, even for myself, like I'm always leveling up sort of my skill sets and my learning just by the conversations that I'm having, right? So,
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to that point, I also wanted to create a space for people who weren't successful yet, if that makes sense. Like I was, like I mentioned, listening to all those podcasts that were incredibly inspiring, but not always relatable. I was in the very beginning stages of what I was doing with my business, and I wasn't having the same issues or the same worries or the same problems that these people who'd been in business for 10 years were having. So I said, well, I want to create a podcast that has those successful entrepreneurs on, but also people who are at every different stage of business, from the side hustle stage to the beginning of, you know, first couple years, because they have different problems. They have different things to speak to. So I wanted to create a space to offer that as well.
So have you learned any lessons in your podcasting career and going through the journey? Any tips for me?
I've learned a lot. I'd say you need podcasting tips or business tips or both.
You just throw them at me. I'll take what you give.
I think the biggest thing is just being organized is just across the board. When it comes to doing interviews, having this, okay, I mean, if I could just walk through the workflow of doing that, it's, you know, identifying guests, doing the research, reaching out to them, scheduling the interview, doing the interview, editing, getting all their information into the show notes, reaching out until them it's published. I mean, it's a lot of work. And if you don't have a workflow and organization, you're going to get buried under it pretty quickly. So I always like, when I say workflow, I literally take a piece of paper and I write out every single step of a task that I have to do. Then I see what things I can automate, what things I can outsource, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think just organization is just really key.
Girl, you are speaking my language. I love process. I'm a process junkie. I was just having a conversation with a friend earlier today about, you know, like when you're thinking about all the areas of your business that are like repeatable tasks or administrative tasks or things that sort of have like a step one, step two, step three, those are all outsourceable, all of them.
Oh, totally.
Right. And so if you have a process, at least you can follow the process, right? So you don't miss anything and you have a checklist to go back to. But then as you grow in revenue and grow in size, you can then pass those on to people who actually like doing that one thing. Because there are people out there who like doing mundane tasks, like step one, step two, step three. It makes me want to poke my eyes out. The only reason I do it is because it makes sure that everything is consistent, right? But the reality of it is you can outsource those things to someone who's like excited to wake up in the morning and do those.
100%. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how you help people in podcasting, because I know that's a part of your business that you help people. And is it that you help people start or is it you help them market it? Like which part of that do you work with?
Yeah, well, just like kind of everything within this business, it's very well-rounded. We offer support through every step of the process, whether that's you want us to launch and manage your podcast, or maybe you just need editing, or maybe you just need the marketing. We can step in at any point, or we could just take you through the whole entire process. So you have both options, which is nice. I love launching podcasts. That whole kind of launch experience is so fun for me. I just launched one last week, actually, which was super fun. But yeah, so any part of the process that you need help with. Another thing that if you don't want to outsource this, or you don't have the money yet, or you just want to do it yourself because you want to try it, I created a podcast course for that, where it's like a DIY, take you through the whole, you know, production process and the publishing process in less than 30 days for less than $100, because this is a very, you know, low barrier to entry, you know, method of getting your voice out there. So it shouldn't cost you an arm and a leg. So that's kind of three different ways that we offer support in podcasting.
Perfect. So it's really like you have the do-it-yourselfers that want to learn this. So you have a course for them. And then you sort of have the done-for-you program where you'll step in, your team will step in and really help them to market it, publish it, and brand it properly so that it's seamless with the rest of their brand.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a big part of Modern Darling Media is education. We want to teach people what they want to learn. They want to learn how to do something, we're happy to come in and teach them. We don't want to have to hold that knowledge to, you know, to myself. So, you know, it's a part of the process as well as of just handing over some creative control to our clients, you know, as part of it.
Absolutely. In part of our pre-interview process, I had asked the question, what advice would you give to the younger version of yourself? And I don't always bring this answer back up for my guests, but I just felt like your answer had just this simplicity to it that I felt we should speak to. Mm-hmm. And so I loved it because it said, good things take time. One thing I've learned is that anything good will take time to grow. Can you talk a little bit more to that? Because so many people get into business and I think the media, I'm going to pick on the media a little bit, but the media, you know, shows entrepreneurs and people who have made it to success and they look from the outside looking in like it happened overnight, right? We don't recognize that there's all of these years of blood, sweat, and tears that potentially went into creating the human they are today and the business success that they have. So what's your take on good things take time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of what you said, I am an incredibly impatient person. And I think a lot of my generation is, we like instant gratification, not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be. And I think it was so tough for me when I was so wanting a change. I was so wanting to build this business and I was really passionate about it. It was really, really hard to wait and to be patient and to let things grow in their own time instead of forcing them on my timeline. And so it really challenged me to let go. It challenged me to take a step back and trust the process and trust that the building blocks and the foundation that I was putting together at that time was what I needed to grow. I could have never been right where I am right now, you know, obviously 3 years ago. So yeah, it's just, it's a learning process of being patient and to understanding that what your journey is going to look like is going to be so different from anybody else's. So there's no point in comparing them because it's never going to match up and it's never going to make sense to match up. So yeah, just being patient and trusting that you're where you are for a reason, but also pushing yourself as well. So finding that balance.
Yeah, that's so easier said than done. Like, you know, I equally am not a patient person. I think that might actually be an entrepreneurial trait. Like I think, you know, you're a high achiever and you're just pushing hard. You're hustling hard to get to that end result. You know, and I'm constantly trying to remind myself that, you know, it's a journey, Terry, and it's not a destination because, you know, my definition of success changes every 6 months, for goodness sake. But it's like, it's really hard to buy into this, you know, being patient and trusting the process and setting up the proper foundation for your business. What advice would you give for people who are struggling with that? Like, what tactics worked for you?
Yeah, I think being bold, failing fast, and failing hard. I think that a lot of the time things take longer and maybe than they need to, because we're being hesitant. We're not going after things boldly because we're either afraid or don't have confidence ourselves, or we're afraid of failing. But if you want to move forward and you want to do it quickly and efficiently and where it's going to get you to where you want to be, you have to be okay with failing and you have to be okay with picking yourself back up as soon as possible and moving forward with what lessons you learned. You don't really have the luxury of sitting around and, you know, licking your wounds for that long. You got to, you know, just kind of pick yourself back up, which is also a hard lesson. But I think just failing fast and picking yourself back up faster, it's going to get you to where you want to be a lot sooner than if you're just kind of tiptoeing around everything.
Absolutely. And I do believe, though, that, you know, after you've had a failure or you have fallen down and, you know, got mud on your face, it does somehow become easier. I've had a couple failures in my life. And I can honestly say that, you know, I'm not as afraid as failing now as I used to be, right? It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's just sort of one of those things. Once you do it, you're like, okay, that wasn't so bad. I can stand back up again.
Really, it's like a muscle. I mean, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Just like, you know, if for some reason working out and being in the gym is a much easier metaphor for people to understand than the intangible things. I mean, but you mean, I just started lifting weights again after not being in the gym for a while. Thank you, quarantine. But I mean, it's like, this is really hard and it's super hard. I know 2 months from now, it's going to be less hard. So, I mean, just getting uncomfortable with being comfortable.
Yeah, that's such good advice. I think back, like, about 2 years ago, I think, I did my first Facebook Live, and you could probably go find it right now. It's hilarious. Like, I didn't know how to add a guest, and I was just sitting there talking to the screen and giggling like a little school kid. And, you know, and being me, who typically I go in and I'm very confident, like I just look like a complete nut. And now I can jump on a live and I feel, you know, uber confident. But I had to get on and do it and make the mistakes. And then I went and asked a bunch of people advice to go like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, the first time's always the hardest. And once you know that, you're like, I just got to get this out of the way and it's going to be easier next time.
Like Nike said, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Just do it. So what are your go-to tools, you know, tools of the trade, resources? Is there something that you're like, okay, if you're an entrepreneur and you are trying to do X, Y, and Z, here's my go-to tool.
Totally. There's two that I use, well, three that I use on a daily basis. The first one is Asana. And there's a bunch of different tools out there like Trello and things like that. But just for how my brain works, I love a good checklist and I love being able to check things off that checklist. It is like a dopamine, like, you know, it's, I love it. I love it. So Asana is really great as well because I work remotely, 100% remotely with all my clients. I don't have one single local client. So being able to have that shared workspace where we can add tasks, assign things to different people, add due dates, add documents, whatever we need to do, it is an amazing, amazing way to stay organized. So that's one. The second is a customer management system. I know people who are like managing their customers in an Excel spreadsheet, and I literally got anxiety just thinking about that. So getting something like Dubsado is fantastic from the beginning because it helps you keep track of all those things that you don't want to go digging in your email for. Contracts, proposals, invoicing, just notes about a project, contact information, all of that is in Dubsado. It's in one place. You can also create workflows within there to automate some stuff as well. So just start with that early on and get really comfortable with it. Because when you get to a point where you're super busy, you're not going to have time to learn it. So that's one. And then the last one is Slack. I really love Slack. It's like instant messaging for business. Basically, it's a way where if I have to ask a client a question, I don't have to email them. I can just ping them, which is great. And there's also Slack communities where you can go in and join a community and have like a running conversation with people in, you know, your field or your niche or whatever it is. So it's just another quick way to connect with people, especially right now when we're having to isolate ourselves. So those are my top three.
Awesome. Those were three really good tools. And the last two, I didn't know much about. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
You just leveled me up. Good job. So just sort of kind of coming onto your personal side, you know, I always look at who we are today is based a lot on all of the experiences we've had. And then there's always sort of those influential people that have touched us in our lives, right? Who's been the most influential to you?
I'd say there's kind of a combination of two, well, three. I'm going to use one as like a group. One person that I don't know personally that I really look up to professionally is Jenna Kutcher. She kind of inspired me from the beginning. I really appreciate her openness and transparency with everything that's going on in her life and her business, but also her kind of heart for education and for sharing her knowledge as well. That's something that I wanted to work into my business inspired by what she's been doing. So those are two things I really admire. And then the second is my family. I have a very supportive parents and husband that put up with my daily stuff that the people I look up to don't have to deal with. So that might even be harder. So I think that they've been an incredible support system that I would not be doing right now what I'm doing if I didn't have them. So
that's pretty awesome. It's so important having a supportive family when you're down, you know, going down this entrepreneurial journey. Is there any key piece of advice for folks that are listening that you would say are key in communication or in the way that you handle speaking and having conversations about your business journey with your family?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I've learned that I've struggled with is when people give me advice, my first thing that I want to say is like, well, you've never done this before. You've never run a business. You don't get it. You don't understand what I'm going through. And obviously that's not helpful at all. But I mean, it is true, but I have to be, you have to be open to people supporting you that might not know what you're going through. They can support you in different ways, just outside of business, but just because they've never done it before doesn't mean that they're not trying to be helpful and supportive. So that's a big one. And also, this is maybe outside of communication, but this is something that both my parents have taught me, is having perspective and taking a step back from a situation before you react. I think that obviously, as entrepreneurs, we're very invested and passionate about what we do. And sometimes situations may upset us or rattle us or whatever it is. But being able to take a step back, have a conversation with someone who's going to ground you, or just do it for yourself, and getting that perspective before you address the conversation. So those are two big things that I am so glad I learned.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the fact that you said the word perspective, because it's my favorite word. But I think it's super important, right? Like in business, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you have friends, family, a spouse who are non-entrepreneurs, non-business owners, there are varying and differing perspectives, right, on the way that things should be done. And, you know, I certainly learned the hard way in my younger years in my previous marriage that, you know, I would get very defensive when my ex-husband would give me advice on my business, you know, to your point saying like, you don't know what you're doing, you don't run a business. What I've learned over the years, you know, hindsight's 20/20, is that he's an employee. He's a customer. Right? He's a human and he has a perspective that is sometimes from the opposite angle that I can't see because I'm the owner. Right? And so I think by having that life lesson for me and going through the divorce and all of that, I've been able to kind of look back and go, oh, like non-entrepreneurs actually can give you advice. You don't have to take all of it. I mean, that's kind of the cool thing about advice, but the reality is they do. They have a perspective that has some validity in some cases. And so having a supportive family, I think, is really important. But knowing how to kind of look at it from their perspective is equally important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know not everybody out there has blood family that is supportive of what they're doing. And my heart goes out to them because that's so tough. But, you know, you can always have a family that you choose as well. So it could mean a lot of different things. So don't be afraid to go out there and find your support system outside of just your immediate family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you were sitting on this side of the mic and you wanted to ask you a question, what question do you wish I would have asked you that maybe I didn't?
Oh, that's hard.
I know. It is hard.
I think, I don't know if this is necessarily a question, but I know one thing that I've struggled with, even now that we're just talking about family, is having the right people in my network business-wise. I think that a lot of the time I was having people in my network that were kind of at the same level that I was, which is great because I was looking for camaraderie and I was looking for people to kind of sympathize with what I was going through. But one thing that I've realized is that I need three different people in my life, ultimately, someone who's behind me and working towards where I'm coming towards and I can teach them something. Definitely somebody who's at the same level as me so I can, you know, mastermind with them and talk about what's going on, but somebody, you know, in front of me that I can look up to and work towards. So having those three key people are so important instead of just that somebody at my same level that's never going to kind of push me forward, if that makes sense. So I don't know if how that would be phrased as a question, but it's something.
I think you just did it perfectly. You asked the question and you answered the question. You did a perfect job. But I think that is such a key question that that you came up with. So thank you for that. It is super important for I think anybody, regardless of whether or not you're an entrepreneur or not, to have mentors, to have people who have been there and done it before. I mean, there's many quotes out there, but if you want to get somewhere fast, mm-hmm. go find somebody who's done it successfully, right? Yeah. Go hang out with people who have done the things that you want to do successfully and then get mentorship and leadership from them. And yes, absolutely. Hang out with people that are at your level so you can have venting parties and masterminds and you know, and talk about all the ooey gooey in business. But then, you know, as community citizens and as people who want to serve, you know, to your point, looking backwards and helping those who want to be where you are because you're the one that's in front of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a train of empowerment, hopefully.
A train of empowerment. Oh, that's a quote. I like that. That was really good. That was really good. Okay. So final question for you. And this is always my favorite question, just because I enjoy this word so much. But what does perspective shifting mean to you?
I think it means a lot. I think it means looking at things from somebody else's point of view, obviously, but also understanding the level of kind of how much should I be freaking out about this kind of thing. That's not very eloquent, but understanding where does this fit into the world? Where does this fit into my goal? And where does this fit into my life right now? So, I mean, like, I have a tendency to be in my head all the time. I'm a huge overthinker. And so if something happens, I will sit and ruminate and think and work myself up into a frenzy about it. And when I think about perspective, it's actually taking a step back and be like, okay, first of all, am I going to care about this in a year? Is this going to affect my business in the next year? Did I burn a bridge with a relationship? You know, asking all those questions and having to literally like meditate on those questions and get through them. And if it's something that's big, I'll worry about it. But if all those questions are no, then I need to understand that I'm just freaking myself out for no reason. So, you know, going through that, one of my favorite stories that I tell people when it comes to perspective is, you know, I accidentally sent an email. I cannot believe I freaked out about this looking back. Example, but I had a client that was supposed to send an email out to 11 people that were in a membership. I accidentally sent it out to her entire list. It was not even a big deal. It was just a, hey, how you doing? Here's an update on my life. It was not giving them access to anything that they should have paid for, anything like that. So now looking back, it was really not a big deal, but I flipped out. I called my parents because they always talk to me. And they're both in the healthcare field. My dad's a physician, my mom's a nurse. And their favorite thing to tell me is like, Katie, when I would go into work and make a mistake, someone could have died. You sent out an email by mistake, which, you know, why should you be freaking out about that? And I'm like, yeah, okay, you're right. You're right. No one died. You know, it's not that big of a deal. So no one lost money. No one lost, you know, anything. So just an example of how you could shift your perspective and really get back into a mindset of, is this really that big of a deal?
So true. Like, is this going to actually bother me in 6 months or a year right down the road? Is it something that I'll still be ruminating on in the future? And for the most part, to your point, I think, you know, most things we aren't, you know, we'll be over it next week, next month, next year, and it won't even be that big of a deal. And we'll be able to go on a podcast and laugh about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. So how can people connect with you?
Yeah. So my website is moderndarlingmedia.com. And you can listen into the podcast on the website if you want. There's show notes, full transcripts, all that kind of stuff. But it's also on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of the podcast platforms as well. So, and my website is kind of a hub for everything that I'm doing. So you can connect with me there.
Awesome. And you can take her quiz to figure out which social media platform that you should be playing in and spending your time in for your business. Thank you so much, Katie, for coming on the Balanced Perspective podcast. I appreciate you and I wish you all the loads of success for 2020.
Thank you so much. I really had a great time chatting with you.